Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and this is episode 9 of Small Town Podcast. Today, we go far away from the great city of Osceola, and in some ways, we go back in time as we visit a small town in the first county ever established in the state of Georgia, and they continue to keep their rich history alive today. This small town was named after a famous general that you may have heard of. We're going to go talk with Mayor Ames Barnett in the small town of Washington, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Osceola, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Osceola made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm. All right, I'm pleased now to be in the council chambers in the city of Washington, Georgia, with the mayor of Washington, Georgia, Mayor Ames Barnett. Mr. Mayor, thank you for being a part of Small Town Podcast.
And Mr. Mayor, thank you, and welcome to Washington, Georgia.
Well, thank you, sir.
Mayor.
That's right. It's nice. The beautiful thing about this, I'll say this, and maybe people have picked up on this, I get to sit down with mayors and councilmen and other elected officials because they know if they say something wrong, I'll edit it right out.
That's right. Hold us accountable.
I'll just get right into it and find out a little bit about you because you and I have never met before today. Were you born in Washington, Georgia?
I was actually born in Baltimore, Maryland at the time. My dad worked for London Fog,
okay.
The raincoat. Was born up there, but pretty much have been here since I've been wearing diapers.
I was going to say, now that your accent doesn't sound like one from Baltimore, Maryland. So
now my dad's from here, my mom's from Lincoln, so Barnett family's been here for years.
Just happened to be born somewhere else.
But just labor pains
here.
Happened in Baltimore, but it all started here.
That's a good way to put that. So you graduated here from local high school?
Went to high school here, Washington Wilkes, and okay. Went to Georgia Southern University.
Okay.
Graduated civil engineering technologies and came back to Washington, Georgia.
As soon as you could.
Yeah.
Now, when you graduated high school and decided to go to Georgia Southern, did you think maybe you'd leave and not come back, or did you always know you'd come back home?
Everybody grows up in a small town and can't wait to leave.
Right.
And then when you get to Georgia Southern and get to another town, and you realize, you know, small town life and small town America is pretty dang good.
Yeah.
I always had a passion for people, and business-wise, opportunities opened up, and I decided to move back to Washington.
So that when you went away, you thought were there some other considerations when you graduated college? Were you looking at other opportunities, kind of weighing it all out?
I did. I wanted to get my engineering license. I thought, Well, I may have to live in Atlanta for a little while to do that.
But with a bigger firm, that kind of thing?
I watched my grandmother serve and some others and had seen a bunch of people leave, and I said, you know, I want to come back and try to do my part.
Okay.
Was part of it, too.
So when you came back, was there a firm already here that you were able to work with, or how did that work? Because, you know, like you said, getting the certification, getting your PE, that's a
big
deal.
Yeah, I ended up not getting it.
Okay.
Worked for a firm in Atlanta for 3 months and then came back and went in business. My brother and I went in business for ourselves, and so I'm a private business owner. I mean, it's had its ups and downs, but we have been successful.
So real early on, you knew you wanted to be home, and you found a way to do it, and early on started your own business right here. So
not only
did you come back home, you started a new business.
That's right.
Yeah. And so that same business exists today. And
that's right. I mean, we're a small business, small town America. We struggle like a bunch of others, but we are successful. you know, having a small town America, a small town small business with your small rural bank, you walk in the door, you're somebody, your reputation means just as much as your credit score.
Who your family is.
You know, where you're from, who's your family, and all that goes into fact. And I just think that, you know, if we were in Atlanta somewhere, we probably wouldn't be as successful because of relationships we have growing up here.
Now, a lot of interviews I do, I get to talk a lot more about someone's life experiences. But you're a little younger than the average person I interview. In fact, I'm gonna ask you. I'm 41, and you look younger than me.
Yeah, I'm 42 years old.
Okay, well, you look younger. It's because you got that nice head of hair, and I started losing mine several years ago. So good luck to you keeping that. So you've been the mayor several years. I believe you said you were on council before that. So when did you first run for office, and why did you decide to get into local government?
I think I was in my early 30s. I've been doing this 11 years.
Okay.
And I just have a desire to, I heard a guy speak saying, you know, God, family, country, in those three orders.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like people were going overseas, serving in the war with machine guns and fighting for our country. And you think that, you know, I don't have to go overseas to be a soldier to fight for a country. I can just do it right in our backyard. And I said, you know, I felt like it was a good opportunity to serve, and I wanted to help contribute to Washington, Georgia. You know, you can sit around and complain all day long, or you can get up and try to sign your name on the ballot and do something about it.
Yeah.
And
so what year did you first run for council? It says 11 years ago, so that would have been 2007.
Yeah.
Okay. And was there maybe a specific initiative or something specific you work on? Or it sounds like you overall service to your community. Was there something specific you wanted to accomplish, or just general service? I've heard both answers.
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to understand how the business of government runs.
Okay.
You know, then you watch things go on and say, well, you know, I'm younger, I'm in business, I'm starting up, my kids are playing Little League, I got a young family here. To have somebody in a leadership role and government role here, I thought was pretty important.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you on council?
I was on council for 4 years.
4 years, and then decided to run for mayor.
Then ran for mayor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what made you decide to go from council to mayor? Top job.
Probably a willingness to want to see things change, a willingness to run a government like a business as much as we can,
mm-hmm.
to run a conservative government, and just probably to do things that I think the best way they should be done. Hopefully the people entrust me to do that, and, you know, we run an efficient city. And then you just... Sometimes you don't like the way the ship's sailing. You can either ride on it, or you can try to take control and turn the ship a little bit and get it on course that you think's best.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of the stance I take at it.
So 7 years, so you're in your second term as mayor.
Right.
During the time you're in for council, or either of the times you run for mayor, did you have opposition?
Yes, I've had opposition both times.
Okay.
In the running for mayor position.
Okay. Obviously, it worked out okay.
It did. It's tough. But, you know, I respect anybody who signs that name on a line of run for political office. You know, whether I agree with them or disagree with them, it is a service to your country.
Yeah. Now, so what are some of the things that, obviously, when you took on the mayor position, you'd learned the first 4 years as council was kind of the learning experience and,
right.
and seeing how government works, just like you said you set out to do. What are some of the things you then wanted to see changed? Or was it things were going so well, you just want to make sure they continue to go well? And it may be a combination of the two. So what are some of the things that you've had an effect on, you think, in your 11 years, both as council and as mayor?
You've seen all businesses consolidate. You've seen, you know, McDonald's, you used to get a hamburger and you went to Kentucky Fried Chicken to get chicken. Now you can get salad, chicken, fish. You know, everything has to innovate to be successful. And sometimes I see governments fail to innovate. But that's okay because they're still collecting tax money. And I just saw it as, you know, this government's got to innovate and be more efficient. And just because that's how we've done it for 30 years doesn't mean that's how we're going to do it in 2010. And I run my own business. I understand that everything changes and we got to change with it. And so that was kind of my goal, is to run this city and run this government and innovate, improve efficiencies, and, you know, look at our labor costs, look at what it costs to collect garbage, and bring a business mindset to it, you know. At that time, you know, the economy was struggling across America, and,
yeah.
You know, I feel like if you're going to go ask somebody to pay more taxes, you need to be able to look at them in the eye and say, we've done all we can do to hold the cost down of what we're running.
So what are some of the things you've changed in your time to do just that, to make it more efficient in Washington?
We changed up our garbage collection system. We do a behind-the-door pickup service, which is really unheard of in this day and time.
Is that the city that does it, or have you outsourced
that? The city does
it. Okay.
the citizen said, hey, we don't want to roll out of garbage stands to the street. We want behind a house pickup. So we changed how we collect garbage to, we were losing about $90,000 a year.
Wow.
To we total flop on production and efficiency, changed that. We, you know, looked at all our labor costs, and just because it's in the budget doesn't mean we spend it.
Right. That's
you
important.
Know, we said, you know, you don't have to spend all your money in your budget just so you get that much money next year. So we took another stance at the budget. Economic development, we really started tackling it. And then we looked at just our labor cost and do we need this position or can we become more efficient? And if we paid our people more, would they take more pride and get more productivity out of them and increase morale? And I think we've done all of that. Employees have gotten raises and make more money working with the city. And I mean, they care. We updated the equipment. You don't know what it costs when a piece of equipment goes down, when you got a water line's busted and your backhoe's tore down, and your crew's standing around and somebody doesn't have water at the house. And we've updated equipment to increase production and efficiency.
So I get this question as a person who got in, you know, I was in my 30s when I ran for mayor. You got in your early 30s in council and of, you know, your second term. So out of curiosity, do you have aspirations of either lifelong mayorship or maybe even a higher political office?
I never wanted to be a lifelong mayor. I feel like my personality is get in, get things done, get things changed, and then, you know, kind of like a relay race. I'm going to run hard and I'm going to get
pass
it, and then it's
baton.
Time to pass the baton to another guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get old and wore out and not be able to run as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my last term. I know that the good Lord put me here for a reason. I feel like I've done and what I think I was sent here to do, and I know it's time to do something else. And I do have always had aspirations to go to state level, but only if I thought I could be effective at it.
Okay.
But I always said if I went to state level, I wanted to understand local government. They're the closest to the people as you can get. And so just because a lobbyist says it doesn't mean it's right for the people. And I wanted to understand how to fix the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a goal of understanding local government.
We did an earlier episode on Small Town Podcast where we talked to and it was the lobbyist for GMA, Georgia Municipal Association, because before I was a mayor, I didn't understand the effect of state legislation on, you know, municipal governments, you know, the cities and counties. It's just amazing because, you know, they do things at state level. Obviously, it's going to affect how we're able to govern at this level. And I think there's a balance there because certainly there's things that the state needs to handle and take control of, but there's kind of a balancing act between making sure they're not taking away too much of the authority and the control that we have at the local level. So
I don't think they do it intentionally.
Oh, no,
I don't
no.
think they wake up and say, I can't wait to hurt small town America,
no.
But I think that what's good for Atlanta is not good for Washington, Georgia, and vice versa. And you got to understand that you got to help the bigger cities and rural Georgia. And if you do one, what's the unintended consequences of another?
Yeah.
And is it worth it?
Yeah, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. Or usually in a state as large and as diverse as Georgia, a one-size-fits-all policy is not going to be the most effective and efficient. You seem like a person who strives for efficiency.
Yes.
So that's good. I want to actually move on and talk about Washington, your city of Washington, but I got a few get-to-know-you questions I like to ask people. So for people that have never met you before, they can get to know you by a little bit, and maybe people that actually already knew you, they'll get to know something new. So first question, do you have or have you ever had a nickname?
Nope. Ames is pretty close to a nickname as you can get. You got to explain it everywhere you go.
Well, explain that then now, because is that a family name or is it short for something? Or And how do you spell your name?
It's James without the J.
James without the J.
So that's it.
That's the easiest way to say it. Yeah, I was going to get you to spell it, but you just say it like that.
That's not really a good family explanation when I've asked. It's just my mom loved that name, and that's the name I got. And,
okay.
It's unique.
So you didn't need a nickname after that
because
yours
right.
was unique enough to your given name. Okay.
Many people ask, is that your nickname or your real name? So
yep,
there we go.
That's it. James without the J. All right, if you had to sing a karaoke song to defend the honor of your fair city of Washington, what would your go-to karaoke song be?
Probably just A Common Man with a Common Plan.
Okay.
I don't know all the words. You'd have to think of the name of that song.
The one with the common man and the common plan. All right, we have to look that up. What is your favorite meal or dish?
Probably fried pork chops with hash brown casserole and some butter beans.
All right, he had the meat and the sides ready to go. If you could attend any concert of any singer or group, band, whatever, dead or alive, what concert would you attend?
I'd probably have loved to see Billy Graham in person.
Okay.
would be
that's unique,
watch him on YouTube, and you see how he affected so many people. And just to be able to see that gift live, I'd have loved to do it.
Unique answer. I wouldn't have thought of that as a concert, but that's certainly right in there. You know, one other question I've got that would be significant just for you. Your city is called Washington. There's another Washington somewhere else in our country.
Yeah.
do they ever play with that, or anyone get confused? You ever introduce yourself as a mayor of Washington, but leave off the Georgia, or maybe whoever's listening to you doesn't hear the Georgia and either get a joke about it or some kind of mishap?
I went to Puerto Rico earlier, right after the hurricanes come through, and went to see how we could help, and they introduced me to Mayor Washington, and I think I was in Puerto Rico for a whole day, and they thought I was the mayor of Washington, D.C.
So they all thought that.
Yeah.
Did you try
but
to
they
clarify
did know it? It was a mayor who cared about Puerto Rico.
Okay. So well, that's important.
We had a great time, and, man, handed out some meals and, you know, got to see how we can be having a bad day, but nothing like one of that bad days.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It puts life in perspective on how blessed we are.
But they all thought you were the mayor of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they did.
And you just let them think that, right?
After a day or so, I felt a little bad. I said, we better straighten this out.
I came to Washington, Georgia on the invitation of a friend of mine who's their Main Street manager, Miss Elizabeth Elliott. While her title is about Main Street and downtown development, she's also Washington's self-proclaimed preservation planner. On the day of my interview with Mayor Ames Barnett, I got a chance to catch up with her and find out about the many things going on in downtown Washington, Georgia. Here's part of that conversation. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Elizabeth and I actually have known each other a couple years. We met both as students in a Downtown Development Authority basic training class. She had just been on the job just, I think it was 2 or 3 months when we were in that class together and met. I've continued to learn, and Elizabeth has now started teaching me because she's just done an excellent job at the City of Washington. So I just wanted to talk to her about some of the things going on. And first, actually, I asked this of a lot of the subjects of my interviews, but Elizabeth, you're not from Washington. You're not even from Georgia, are you?
I am not. I am a proud Texan.
A proud Texan.
Born and raised.
I don't know if I've never met an unproud Texan. Everyone's
It's true. They're hard to find.
What is it that made you? Obviously, you came here to work, but you could have gone a bunch of different places. A lot of places have Main Street programs where you could have been a director, or, you know, even bigger programs where you could have done something more specialized in a bigger city. What was it about the city of Washington, Georgia, that made you pick here?
Well, in the first place, I went to UGA to get my master's for historic preservation, which is why I say self-proclaimed
that's
preservation
right.
planner, because that's kind of what I actually have my schooling in. And then once I graduated, I bummed around to Athens for a couple years and was sort of using my degree. And then I finally decided I should actually, you know, use this that I've paid for. So I started looking for positions. And one of the positions that I saw come across some of the places I was looking was Main Street Director of Washington, Georgia. And Main Street is actually a program through the National Trust of Historic Preservation. So it sort of dovetails in economic development and preservation as an economic development tool. And so it's something I've always had close to my heart because my hometown raised their downtown in the 70s. And so I've never lived in a place that had a really great Main Street until I was in Athens. But I answered this ad and actually tootled down here because it's only about an hour south of Athens. One of the great pluses of Washington, hour south Athens and about an hour north of Augusta. So we have a lovely location.
Good pitch.
constantly. And so I just came down here and I was amazed that this jewel of a town existed and I never really knew of it before I just had this application. So I applied and the city administrator then is the same as she is now. And Sherry Bailey, she's wonderful and I'm very grateful to have her as leadership. And so she answered my email and was like, you look very qualified. We'll be very excited to interview you. And I was like, great. And about 2 weeks later, I was like, they haven't contacted me yet. I was like, so I was kind of the naggy interviewee. I was like, hey, so she's like, I'm working on getting the hiring committee together. I'll let you know. I'm like, okay. And then like another 2 weeks passed by and I was like, hey, so I just wanted to check again.
So not only were you fine with being in Washington, you were eager to be in Washington.
Exactly. And so after all of that, I had the interview and it went very, very well. And she had set up an interview committee. So it was a lot of leadership in the town, everything from business owners, a local real estate agent, the head of the Downtown Development Authority at that point, the mayor's wife, who used to be tourism director. So it was sort of an end all be all of who's who in Washington.
Right.
So I got to see their passion, which was really, really wonderful. And it just kind of gave you all the warm, fuzzy feelings because you can see it's a beautiful town. But when you meet the people and how passionate they are about the city, that really tells you kind of the inside track on it. And so the joke was, I left the interview and one of the people was like, can we just go get her and let her know she has a job? But there was a second round of interviews and it was me and one other person. And then that was the rest of the story. And in that interview, I'm proud to say I quoted both Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation.
Fantastic.
And Maya Angelou in the same sentence.
That's a good combination.
I feel like that was my claim to fame. That's what got me into the position.
It for you. Yeah. You didn't have it before, even though it sounds like you had it after the first interview there by that story. Well, since you've been here, like I said, the first time we met, you were still pretty new at the job. What are some of the things you've done? And even bigger, what are some of the things that Washington has been doing and has going on?
Well, I can't say that I've done anything specifically because Washington is definitely a team. The leadership, Ames, City Council, Sherry Bailey, who I've already mentioned, that I don't know how the city would just cease running without her. She's amazing. The city crew, the electrical department, because we do supply power to our residents, the street department, everybody, every single project that we throw at them or I throw at them, they do it with smiles on their face. I normally bring them cookies after because I actually need to go do that here in a second because they're building a square or a stage on the square for a concert we're having tomorrow night, and so I promised them all cookies. So after this interview, I'm going to go get them cookies.
Well, that's fair. If you agreed to it, then you should definitely follow through.
Exactly. But those types of events are one thing that I've really tried to spearhead here at my time in Washington, because it is a small town and there isn't a lot to do. And I feel like the residents know that, but people moving here, even if they're from a bustling metropolis, they know that there's nothing to do. But that's sort of the appeal, is it's quiet and that's what you like. But that doesn't mean that you can't provide a few things every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So we've started doing movies on the square and concerts on the square. And we had a really fun event in October called Scare on the Square, where all the merchants, the little kids came in costumes and trick-or-treated. And then we watched Hocus Pocus and had a costume contest. Our biggest event of the year, without a doubt, is our 3rd of July fireworks. It was named one of the 10 best small town fireworks shows in the nation by USA Today.
Okay. That's worth shouting about.
Yeah. So if you haven't been here, we have a lovely square and the fireworks are shot off right behind the courthouse. So it's sort of just a vista. You don't really get anywhere else. So, and we have vendors and it's just a really great time. And there's several thousand people that come to watch. So that's definitely our biggest event. And then we have, of course, us being a historic city, we have tour of homes, both Christmas and spring. And then the second time of year that we really shine is the holiday season. So we do snow on the square, which all the kids love. And it's just wonderful. And we do a community tree lighting ceremony where all the ornaments on the tree are made by local children in the schools.
Oh, that's nice.
So just like tying in a lot, and we do candlelight shopping as well, which is fun. That gets the businesses involved. So we're just doing a whole bunch of stuff on that side of things. And we've also done some recent improvements for like pedestrian safety to make the, you know, we already have a lovely square, but there, you know, nothing's ever perfect. So you can kind of do
always
a few little tweaks.
Little improvements. Yeah.
And we added a fountain that's really beautiful. So there's just been a lot of projects, but it's taken an army and a family. I always say that the city is my Washington family because all my family's back in Texas. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of my surrogate. So I'm very appreciative for everyone that works here and I love working with all of them.
Well, we got a chance. Elizabeth greeted me when I got here and we had some time before we set up to do the interviews to go down to the square. Beautiful square, very impressive. And we did have lunch at one of the restaurants and it was called the Square Cafe. But other than that, I looked around and I saw getting set up, you know, the stage you already referenced. So obviously got some things going. And I will attest that it took us about 15 minutes to make what should have been like a 2-minute walk because everybody knows Elizabeth and needs to hug her as they pass by. So it's impressive that you've got those relationships built in just a couple of years' time. And I will attest to this. She did go up and check on the guys building the stage and they didn't growl or anything. They smiled. Maybe it's because of the cookies.
Yeah, probably.
But talk about some of the variety of businesses and restaurants and shops and things to let people know what they could enjoy if they came down the square either on an event day or just a regular day in Washington.
Definitely. We are very spoiled for restaurants, especially in Washington. We have a little bit of everything. We have, you know, the great Southern Home Cooking, Cade's Home Cooking. And if you've never been there, it's worth just a trip for going to Cade's. They're wonderful. We have our very own food truck, the Hot Box. So we like to say we're a metropolitan. or fancy, whichever one you want to say.
There's not many small towns that have their own food truck. That's impressive.
There's not.
And now, how often does that roll through? Do you rotate around to some other towns in the area? Or just it's a Washington-based food truck?
It's a Washington-based food truck.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called the Hot Box. One of the part owners is my DDA director.
Okay,
so
cool.
They're a really great part of the community. We have a Chinese food restaurant. We have Big Chick, which is sort of, you know, good old fried chicken.
Yep.
The Square Cafe, of course, is our coffee shop and just sort of quick lunch place, which is why we went there today.
Yep, we a quick lunch.
We just kind of grabbed and went. But so Square Cafe, it's wonderful. And then we have the Jockey Club / Talk of the Town, which is sort of our more upscale restaurant. And then we have CJ's Pizza, which is our lovely pizzeria, handmade crust, all that type of things. And we have Wings and Things, which is sort of our sports bar. So it's sort of, we hit a lot of different.
I was about to say that I saw several buildings downtown in just our quick stroll, and it sounds like all of them might be restaurants.
There's Oh, and we also have a soda shoppy. We have Favette's Pharmacy, and they have a little soda shop in the background. That's another quick bite place.
So Washington, Georgia likes to eat.
Apparently. Yeah, a lot of people, when they come here, and they're like, well, where can we eat? It's like you start listing off the places.
Yeah,
and
that was a longer list than I was expecting when
exactly.
I asked that question.
Then for stores, we just, we have several antique shops that are wonderful, too. West Antiques, which I also like to say, and gifts, because they have other stuff. They have candles and jewelry and, you know, decorative items. So they're wonderful. We have Sisters 2. We have Antiques and Treasures, which is our newest one. We have some boutiques pieces and Be Southern. We have Ace Hardware downtown, Pos Ace Hardware, which is one of my favorite places to go because they sort of double as like the kitchen store and like a lot of other things. I just bought a grill from them. So if you don't know where to go, just like go there and they most likely will
have it.
And so we just have a whole bunch. And we have Tina's Jewelry. So we have Upscale Jewelry. We just have tons and tons of stuff downtown. So we're very, very lucky. And Favette's Pharmacy. It's a pharmacy, soda shoppy, and it also is a gift shop. And then we have the Fashion Stop, which is sort of like fast fashion, as well as Back on the Rack, which is the consignment. We have Verizon downtown, Young's Fashion, which is sort of beauty and all that type of stuff. So we have two gyms downtown, real estate office.
Well, you got to work off all the food everybody's eating.
Apparently,
all the restaurants.
Yeah, now that you say that, I think that makes sense.
That makes sense. That's very logical, actually.
Yes. So we're very, very lucky to have a vibrant downtown.
Now, Elizabeth, you just listed a whole lot of events and activities and a whole lot of restaurants and several shops. So if people were not feverishly taking notes while they were listening to us right now, where can they go, either website or Facebook or the social media channel, to get more information and to find out what upcoming things are going on in Washington?
Well, luckily, we have both a Facebook page and a website and an Instagram.
Wow, three.
Yeah, we try real hard here. Sometimes too hard, maybe. But no, our website is downtownwashingtonga.com, and we have everything from business listings to real estate listings for available properties downtown. We have, if you want to open a business in downtown, we have sort of a Welcome to Downtown and New Business Guide. We have Small Town Life, which is a link to my Instagram, and it sort of just is like a little snippet of some fun pictures of different events and that type of thing. So yeah, it's a great resource. And then we also, and all of that's sort of the downtown specific, and we also have tourism specific social media. And so Historic Washington Wilkes is our Facebook handle for the tourism side of things. And then WashingtonWilkes.org is the website for tourism. And it also doubles as the chamber page. So we have lots and lots of resources for you. So yeah, come visit them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say again, just walking down with you just briefly, beautiful downtown square, and looks like a lot going on. Definitely a nice downtown, small town downtown to come visit. So I hope everyone will. All right, Elizabeth, thanks for joining us and telling us what's going on in Washington.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And thank you so much for coming and seeing it.
All right, let's talk about your city of Washington. The immediate thing, if you even do a little bit, or you may just think of it because of the name, it's a lot of history here. In fact, as I was driving up to City Hall, I saw, I think on the sign, you were established in 1780. There's plenty of cities in Georgia that were established somewhere in the 1800s or early 1900s, but I don't know there's that many that were established in the 1700s. So you guys go back quite a ways. So talk about some of the history of Washington, Wilkes County.
I guess one thing that's neat is we're named after, it was General George Washington before he was a president.
That's right.
You know, and to be able to, it kind of shows what kind of man he was. Even before he was president, somebody thought so much enough, we want to name our city after General George.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really some good foresight of the leaders of Washington, Georgia way back when. I mean, it's been a town who's had its struggles. I mean, to be around so long, I mean, through the World War I, World War II, the loss of husbands, the loss of brothers, the loss of lives of war in a small community. And I had a guy I went to high school with, he passed away in Iraq. And you think that was one guy who touched our community, and you think back to what they lived through in this small community, through the wars and death and the depression, you know, the boll weevil, just different things that affect them, how the people have still been here and we're still here, you know, successful. And small town struggles, you know, I have a confidence that Washington's going to be okay.
Well, talk about Washington in general. What do you think it is that sets it apart? I mean, there's a lot of things that are common to small towns. You and I can sit and talk about things common to ours, but what is it that makes Washington so great and sets it apart?
I mean, everybody's going to say it's that people. You know, we have a town square, and it's still the town square. We hadn't grown out and in the center of the town's died. I mean, we have a good town square, and the relationships are still here. I mean, everybody knows everybody. Everybody still gets along. Football Friday nights, you know, come to life. I think especially we have one high school in the county, so they're playing for Washington, Georgia, Wilkes County, and when they win, we win. I think that's special about a community. And you have a city and a county government that's run good. And, you know, a bunch of, you know, we do sell electricity, the city does, so we have more, you know, we have more opportunities to provide to for Parks and Rec or for different events or parks. And so we don't struggle like other small towns because we do sell electricity and we're an electric business, and that provides us some opportunities that other towns do not have.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of go along with small town living. Now, in most places, there's a non-elected person that maybe has some outsized influence. And if you want to do some big project, especially if there's money involved, you want to get that person to buy in, because once that person says, yeah, we should do this, everyone else kind of buys in. So, and that may be a group or a club, maybe a couple people, but who's a person of kind of outsized influence you're going to go to and talk about before you bring it up in a council meeting?
I have a guy named Johnny Gresham who's kind of been a good mentor of mine since I became elected. Older gentleman, and you know, if you struggle and ask him a question, I mean, you're going to call and get the truth. He's from Washington. He doesn't live here every day, and you know, I feel like he's not going to be emotionally attached to some things and just give the, you know, a non-emotional attached answer, and I'll lean on him. I feel like I know I was put in this position to make the best wise decisions. I feel like I do what I know is right, and I'm not going to go get a public opinion poll every time I'm going to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to go to bed at night saying this is a decision that I made that I can sleep with, not the decision that 10 people on the street think we should do.
Yeah.
And that's the way I try to govern, and you know, if somebody doesn't like it, they can come talk to me, and I can pretty much give you a good reason why we did what we did and explain to you why we did what we did, and we may still disagree.
Yeah.
But I can explain it, and I can live with it.
But you talk to them in a way,
right.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people? What's the population of Washington?
Around 4,400 people in
4,400.
The city.
4,400, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that might be the biggest town I've had on a podcast so far. With 4,400 people, I bet most of your council meetings, public hearings, probably pretty quiet. Everybody gets along, small town. But every once in a while in a small town, there's some issue that kind of brings everybody out of the woodwork or maybe creates some kind of a funny or a kind of a provocative incident in a meeting. So what are some examples of that in Washington where something that you probably wouldn't have expected to be controversial suddenly becomes that way and stuff just goes haywire in a council meeting or in a public hearing?
The biggest decision we made was to close our police department and contract with the county to do our police protection. You know, we've always had a police department. We think we need a police department. And when you look at the numbers and the liability and say, we're not going to do that anymore, we're going to pay the sheriff to do it. That was pretty controversial. A bunch of people emotionally attached to a police department. When you strip away the emotion, strip away the personality that's attached to it and just say, what is financially right for the city of Washington, it was the right answer.
Now, how long ago did that happen?
I think it's about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And it's been good. I mean, we paid the sheriff department. They get the same amount of protection. But that's some of those things. You got to make those tough decisions to do. You know, you got to look at those people in the eye and say, you're not going to be an employee of the city anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. And
mm-hmm.
that's hard. But you also got 4,000-something people out there that you got to look in the eye and say, we're doing what's right to run your city.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the stewardship part.
That is. And
sounds
so
like
you,
what you're...
But you just got to be able to, if
yeah.
you're going to sign your name up, you got to be able to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And they're not fun.
So when those discussions were happening, that you had a higher than average attendance in some of your council
yeah.
meetings, and you'd have public hearings, and when you talked about that, that's a big issue. So I imagine that's over the course of a few months, maybe even years.
Yeah, we had a bunch of public input, a bunch of, you know, people upset. I think we explained it fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the percentage of people who were upset versus you think people were comfortable with it, I think, you know, we were good. I mean, it was the right thing to do.
Mm. So if someone came to Washington, maybe it was their first time, and they could only see or visit or experience one thing, whether that's a festival, an event, you know, a historic site or a famous building, what would you want to make sure that person got to see or do in Washington, Georgia?
You're not supposed to ask the one for it. But, I mean, you have all your museums and all your history, but those things come and go in a bunch of cities, but if I was thinking about moving to a small community, what really stood out? Probably like a football Friday night. You get to see your community, your kids, who's supporting your kids, and that just brings people together. And that's probably some of my most special nights during the fall is watching those kids play, watching, you know, people save up money during the week to come to that game on Friday night and to see people that you hadn't seen all year, and everybody's pulling for the same thing, and that's that's Washington Wilkes. And it's part of community in the South is football.
Yeah, absolutely is. Well, I'll give you, as we close out, I will let you speak directly to the audience and tell them why they should come to visit or maybe even come and move here and live in Washington, Georgia.
I mean, it's a special place. I mean, it's a bunch of special small towns. We just had a lady move in from Buckhead, and, you know, she says, I just feel like somebody here. Nobody knows me, but, you know, I'm just not a number. You know, I'm not, you know, I get to see people at a restaurant. I get to see them at the grocery store. I get to see them at church, and you start building relationships, and that's just special. A sense of community, and this needs to be, you know, everywhere across America, but we have it here. And then just come, you know, get out of business and just slow down. And, you know, as we run wide open with cell phones and going here and going there, and just come here and slow down and just be quiet. I mean, sometimes it's just very peaceful. You know, special people, and it's just an awesome place. I mean, I'm glad I made the decision I did to come back to Washington out of college and know this is a safe place to raise my kids. You know, they ride the bicycle down the sidewalk. You know, they're going to go to the games on Friday night and run around and not worry about who's going to pick them up. You know, our schools are safe. You know, it's just a bunch of good things. I mean, some people worry about in your bigger cities that, you know, it doesn't keep us up at night.
Well, Mayor Ames, James without the J, Barnett, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Well, man, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming to Washington, and just we appreciate what y'all do and wish you the best, too, on your broadcast.
Thank you for that. Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Ames Barnett for talking with me. I also want to thank Elizabeth Elliott for being such a great host and tour guide and for talking with me on their microphones for this episode. Thanks to Washington's Main Street program for supporting this episode. You can learn more about Washington and all that's going on there by visiting downtownwashingtonga.com and washingtonwilkes.org. Thanks as always to the Georgia Municipal Association and the Southern Mercantile for supporting Small Town Podcast. If you're enjoying these episodes, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and leave us a review on iTunes to help others find us. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime. We stand adjourned.